news and more, including state-by-state reports on the nation's premier youth organization. This is FFA Today on Rural Radio 147.
Hello and welcome to this week's FFA Today. I'm your host, Janet Atkinson, and of course, thanks for tuning in. So to get things started today, we head to California. That's where the San Diego Union-Tribune reports on how each summer, members of the Escondido High School FFA prepare to load up dozens of their animals bound for the San Diego County Fair.
So yeah, this year, every year kind of breeds success of our program, and so more kids are getting into it, loving to do kind of the hands-on involvement, work with animals, they want to be out here. A lot of kids are looking at careers in animal science, being a large animal vet, and so this kind of gives them that experience while they're young. It's a tough classroom assignment, you know, it's the toughest one they're going to have, but it gets them out to work with the animals.
Everyone's in a big rush because usually most species only have like one day, and we're all trying to hurry up and get it over with, and so everyone is just trying to hurry, and then other people are getting frustrated, and it's just really unorganized. But there's something really fun about it, the crunch time before fair.
Right now we have 75 students interested in raising lambs, pigs, sheep, turkeys, cattle, meat rabbits, meat chickens, and so all of them are prepping their animals this week. It's a sense of competition, you know, and I think that's one thing is the kids are competing against not only our school, but also all the other San Diego High School students and the FFA programs in the county. And so that's one thing is they want to do their best and really striving to learn how to show their animals, learn how to get them ready, groomed, and working hard. And I don't do it for them. It's all them, you know, and I will advise and I'll show them how and, you know, I'll teach them, but it's all them to get their animals prepped and ready and get going.
And earlier this month, the Oakfield, Alabama FFA in New York was awarded an America's Farmers Grow Rural Education Grant of $10,000. It's to help with the construction of a new building at the school. The check was presented to much applause at a recent Board of Education meeting.
We are honored tonight to have Kent Williams here presenting a donation check or grant check that we received for our FFA program. This is our fourth year as an ag program, and we're really excited to have received this from the America's Farmers Grow Rural Education Grant Program. We are being awarded $10,000, and we're super excited about that, and we appreciate all the supporters that have supported that grant. I'll introduce you here in a minute, but thank you for being here as well. Joining us tonight, like I mentioned, is Kent Williams on behalf of the Bayer Fund and the America's Farmers Grow Rural Education Program. Kent, thank you.
As Todd said, my name is Kent Williams. I'm a field sales rep with Bayer and Huebner Seed for Western New York. Today we are here to celebrate the success of your getting the grants through the America's Farmers Grow Rural Education Program. The America's Farmers Grow Rural Education Program partners with farmers to nominate their local school district to apply for STEM grants through the program. Since 2011, the program has given over $18 million to over 1,000 school districts across rural districts across America or across the U.S. We are proud to help support local schools like yours to contribute work on exciting and innovative math and science projects. Now I'd like to turn it back over to Todd so he can give us a little insight on what he's going to do with the money.
I think before we go there, we should thank our supporters. Gordy and Peggy Lamb, if you guys could all stand up and we'll give you a round of applause here in a second. Sam and Julie Scarborough, Dennis and Joan Phelps, Pete Zeliff, and I know Bruce and Jesse Nass were going to try to make it, but guys, we'd like to thank you for supporting this grant. So. So with the funds that have been received, we are very excited that this ag program is expanding quickly. We went from 35 kids enrolled last year, we're up to 83 currently. We're really excited about that. We've got a sixth grade program that's really rejuvenated or excited these kids. And we've got some of our junior officers here tonight, so we appreciate their enthusiasm as well. We are going to use the funds to put the addition on the school barn. It's proposed to make a 12-foot wide by 32 addition for our hay, grain, and bedding storage to make it easier and safer for the kids throughout the school year, especially in the off months, when I say off weather-wise. So that's what the funds will be used for, and we, again, appreciate you guys supporting our efforts. So thank you.
Thank you.
Well, finally, we head to Indiana. That's where a few members of the Flora FFA chapter give us a brief tour of their busy animal barn.
All right, so today I am here with
Andrew Williams
and
Danny Britton.
And today I'm going to be asking them a few questions about the Flora FFA animal barn. So, guys, so first off, how long has the barn been here?
Roughly 5 years. This is its fifth year.
So who is it that sponsored the barn to be built?
Cargill here in Flora. They sponsored the barn to be built, and they give donations to the FFA every year.
And who was it exactly that got the barn to where it is today?
We have to give credits to Ty Slagley.
Ty Stallings and Doug Slagley. They've made this barn come a long way, and me and Andrew have just been along the ride for the past couple years.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, how many of each animal do you guys have here?
Oh, we got 3 pigs, 2 goats, 4 rabbits, and 19 chickens.
All right, well, how many of the chickens are roosters?
We got two roosters.
Two.
One's a Cochin, and the other one is a Barred Rock.
Of the animals, of the goats, pigs, and rabbits, which of each gender do you guys have?
We have 2 male pigs, 1 female, 1 of each on the goats. We have 1 male rabbit and 2 females.
So what exactly breeds are the animals?
Oh, the pigs are potbellies.
Mini potbellies.
We got pygmy goats.
We got
2 Flemish giant and 1 Rex bunny.
So whenever you guys go get new animals, where do you go to?
We've gone through individuals, just buying off them. We've went to Rural King and got chicks, just kind of anywhere we can get them.
And our rabbits, they came from Enterprise.
So of the animals, do you guys have any favorites?
Oh, I don't know.
We really
can't take favorites.
Yeah, we really like Will and Sal over here, our 2 pigs. They've been here for a long time. But, you know, like you said, we can't pick favorites.
Has anybody here been hurt by one of the animals before?
No, never.
Have one of the animals ever tried to hurt somebody?
Oh, no.
No, they're all nice.
Nicest animals ever.
What do you guys do with the eggs that you get from the chickens?
Oh, we take them to the egg shop, put them in the fridge, and we sell them.
How much do you guys sell them for?
$1.50 a dozen.
So what all do you guys do down here besides obviously feeding and watering the animals?
Well, we'll come down every week, once or twice a week, normally twice, and we'll come down and clean all the pens. We get fresh straw in them and just dump waters, clean waters, and every week we try to keep all our stuff clean, all the time, floor swept. We mow, we've been mowing it, we push mowed it, we did about everything.
All summer long,
it's hard work, but we got to do it.
Every end of school year, we come in and clean the whole barn.
So over the summer and winter, do the animals just stay here or what?
The animals stay here during the school year, so through August through May, we take care of them all through there. We put heat lamps and stuff in the winter. But in the summer, most of the time, they'll go out to Ty Stallings out. Before they went to Carmine, now they're going out to buy on South 45 here. Some of them went to Slagley's before, like some of the pigs, but mainly, yeah, Ty keeps them and stuff. He loves animals. He's a good caretaker.
So how long do you guys plan on working here exactly?
Oh, till I graduate. Maybe even later.
Till graduation.
All right, well, you guys, well, thanks for offering up your time and help answering some questions for me. And just, you guys have a nice day, and that's all for now.
Thank you.
Well, stay tuned. We'll meet a member in Illinois who took her baking business from a local farmer's market to selling out of sweets at a building of her own. Next on FFA Today. Well, welcome back to the show. And now we turn things over to FFA Today contributor and host of the Off Farm Income Podcast, Matt Bruckwald, who introduces us to Aaliyah Ogle, an Illinois member and chapter reporter whose thriving bakery is serving up delicious treats, all while helping the revitalization of her city's downtown.
Joining me today is Aaliyah Ogle, and she is coming to us from Streeter Township High School in Streeter Township, Illinois, where she's serving as her chapter's reporter. Welcome to the show. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, you bet. Now, we're going to talk about your chapter and how this has all worked for you coming up in a second, but I understand from speaking with you off the air that puts you into your junior year this year, but you're actually going to graduate a year early, so this is your final year of high school, as it were.
Yeah, it's pretty sad. Like, I actually joined FFA halfway through my freshman year, so I haven't been in FFA that long, and I honestly wish I could just do it forever, you know? So it is pretty sad, but I'm pretty excited for the next chapter.
Okay, very cool. What brought you in? Why did you join?
Well, my sister had been doing it since freshman year, and I didn't really think anything of it because I'm not much of, like, a farm person. I never really have been. I've been more of a city girl, and she loved what she did there, and she was always having fun, and she was always going to all these conferences and competitions, and I was kind of curious, and I was almost kind of, like, jealous, like, she went out and did all that fun stuff, because, you know, as a homeschooler, you don't always have, like, a ton of opportunities of things to do.
Mm-hmm.
My sister was there one night for practice, and she comes home, and she said, well, Mr. Hinchy talked to us, and he wants you to join Ag. And I'm sitting there thinking, just why? Well, he wanted me to join Ag because he knew I ran a baking business.
Okay.
And I would be good for one of the competitions there, which is called Food Science. And so he wanted me to join a class so that I could compete in that competition. And so I was actually so excited that he had said that. And I literally joined right away. We went and signed up, like, the next week.
So you got recruited. That's really interesting. Now, I want to talk with you more about how school works for you. So you are a homeschool student, right? And then you just go to campus just for FFA?
Yes.
Okay. So what was it like for you to not be in school with everybody in your FFA chapter every day, but then to come in for one class and kind of be the, I don't know, maybe the new girl coming in and where are you all day? And here you are in our FFA chapter. How was that?
When I first started, it was really weird. Like, I was lucky enough to have my sister in my class with me. So I kind of was like, okay, I know somebody, but everyone was kind of weird and, like, skeptical about, like, where I came from and, like, what I was doing there. Cause they had kind of assumed that I was, like, a transfer student or something like that.
Okay.
And, but eventually, like, I started going to more things. Like, I would go to, like, conferences, and I would volunteer, and I would just get as involved as possible, and I would do, like, competitions and things like that, and I made friends really quickly and got to know people a lot, and that really helped me. I actually met my best friend through FFA, and she actually didn't really care for me when she first met me, but now we're best friends, so that's pretty cool.
And you've become your chapter's reporter. So what made you decide to become part of the officer team?
I had watched last year's officer team, and I got to see all that they did as an officer team, and I thought it was really cool how they almost became a family.
Mm-hmm.
And they get to do a lot. They get to travel. They get to meet so many people. They get to help so many people. And that's always been a big part of my life, is helping other people, because my parents have always been that way. And so I just thought I'd give it a try, because I used to always have trouble with, like, interviews and, like, public speaking and things like that. But FFA has really, like, broken me out of that. So I said, why not? I wasn't going to, like, run for president and do anything, like, too bold, but I decided to go for a reporter. And so I did the interview, and I didn't feel the best about it. But I got the news, I think it was the next day, that I had gotten reporter. And this has been, like, one of the best years ever because of that.
Very cool. Good for you. Well, look, I called you to talk about your supervised agricultural experience, and I am really excited to do that. So you've kind of already alluded to it, but you are running a bakery, right?
So pretty much, I have always loved to be in the kitchen, like, since I was 2 feet tall. I've always liked to be in the kitchen with my grandma and my aunt and my mom. And it's always kind of been a big part of my life, like a big Italian family, you know, we always like to be in the kitchen. But I've always liked baking. I like cooking, but I've always had a thing for baking because you can, like when I was little, it was always like you could add colors, you could add sprinkles, like you could make it fancy. And that's kind of always my thing. And as I grew up, I was always just baking in my kitchen, like helping out my grandma and doing little things, whatever I could do to help. And when I turned 12, the market here in town, Streeter, was taking applications for vendors. And so I paid the fee, and I started going about every Saturday. And I would bake, like, a few batches of things. I would make, like, brownies, or I'd make scones or muffins and things like that, and I'd take it there. And people were, like, slowly starting to, like, come by more and more, and like I would have like repeat customers every Saturday. And so I started to get like a customer base, and I was like, this is really cool. And so pretty much I said I wanted to come up with a name for my business, and so I was gonna just kind of continue to work out of my home kitchen. So I've actually been an Irish dancer for about 8 or 9 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And the name came from one of the dances that I do as an Irish dancer. So the name of the bakery is Blue Eyed Rascal. And I also thought about that because I have bright blue eyes. And so now people like look at me to like know if it's me or not, see if I have blue eyes. So I think that's really cool. So yeah, I got a banner printed and everything. My mom helped me out with the logo, and I would hang that at my farmer's market table every Saturday. And at the time, my parents had purchased a building downtown, mainly for the reason that they're big on, like, revitalizing the downtown. And this building, which is now my bakery, was just, like, nothing was happening to it. And it was just kind of sitting here. It's a beautiful building. So they were just going to buy it. They weren't sure what they bought it. They weren't sure what to do with it. It was just kind of, they just wanted to, like, do something with it, even if they were just going to fix it up and then sell it again, because it needed work done. But now it's really beautiful. And we finally opened June 22nd of this year. But we've been busy.
Are you the sole proprietor of this bakery, or are you in partnership with your parents on this bakery?
I'm in partnership with my mom.
Got it. Okay. Very good. And so what's next for you?
So pretty much, I'll take classes at the community college, which is about 20, 30 minutes away from me. Next year, like just gen ed, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll still be able to work here, because I also might be able to take those classes online, which would be really helpful. And so I'll get all my gen eds done at a community college. And then my plans are to have my mom will continue to work here while I am in school.
Okay.
If I do choose to do school away from home, but if I choose to do it online, I'll continue to work here. But my plans are to go into nursing and then eventually become a nurse practitioner specializing in women's health.
Well, Aaliyah, I want to ask you if you could give advice to folks listening, particularly students who are maybe just coming into the FFA. You know, what would you say to them about why can't you do everything that you're fired up about?
There's really no reason you can't do it. If you just put your mind to it, go for it, you totally can. Don't let anyone else tell you what you can and can't do, because you're your own person. And if you can put your mind to it, then you can do it. That's how I've always felt about it.
Thank you so much for sharing this story with us today. Really enjoyed hearing about it.
No problem at all. I always enjoy sharing my story for other people.
For FFA Today, I'm Matt Breckwald.
Well, thanks as always to Matt for another great interview. Well, don't go anywhere. We're off to Alabama next here on Rural Radio 147. Well, thanks for tuning in this week. Finally today, we head to Alabama, where every June, FFA students live out the motto of learning to do, doing to learn, earning to live, and living to serve. That's as they help pack meals to serve those in need. Simply Southern has the story.
In June, FFA members from all over Alabama attended the annual state convention in Montgomery. Like many organizations, FFA provides opportunities for service along with their other activities.
As Kevin Worthington tells us, about 200 FFA members, advisors, and friends packaged some 35,000 meals for the Montgomery Area Food Bank to distribute to needy families in central and southeast Alabama.
Many people think of FFA as Future Farmers of America. Well, that's how it started, but it's evolved into something much bigger than the organization that was founded in 1928.
A lot of times when you see the Blue Jackets, you think cows, sows, and plows, but we really emphasize that the FFA organization is more than just being Future Farmers of America. Certainly the farmer component of it is very important because these are the hands that will produce and feed a growing population, but there are always opportunities outside of production agriculture for these students in the workforce. So we are preparing them for careers, whether it is in production agriculture or if it's in a role that supports production agriculture, or maybe even as doctors or lawyers. We are in the business of getting these students ready for careers.
FFA members say leadership is the key. And in order to be successful, a good leader must know how to serve others.
This is called a Meals of Hope bagging session. And at this session, they're going to be bagging 35,000 meal kits that will be delivered to the Montgomery Area Food Bank. The Montgomery Area Food Bank serves over 35 counties in the state of Alabama, so the majority of the state. And this gives kids a chance to come together and to work in a cooperative effort in a way that serves the needy people in our state.
It is an opportunity for our members to live out the last line of the motto of living to serve. We've done this in the past. We haven't done it in a couple years, so this year our state officer team wanted to implement a hands-on service project for our members. It's Meals of Hope. We have about 200 students packing meals to the Montgomery food area.
The day of service was sponsored by the National FFA Organization and the Alabama Wheat and Feed Grain Producers. In addition to being very important, members say the event is also a lot of fun.
There was a very lot of excitement at my table. When we got done with the box, we yelled, "Good box," or something. We yelled something like that. It'd be "Good box," or "We finished a box," and we'd all cheer and clap and stuff like that. We had a really good team. Our team was really excited. They was moving at a really good pace. It was so much fun.
This is very common. Some people take it very serious, and this is a serious thing. But a lot of kids, or even adults, have a lot of fun with this. And they see a lot of people they haven't seen in years. I've had five generations on lines. And it is a lot of fun. A lot of work behind the scenes, but let me tell you, once you get here and it's all done, all the people that organize this will look at each other and says, "Wow, it's a lot of fun. A lot of work, but a lot of fun."
All totaled, the Alabama FFA delivered more than 3,000 pounds of apple cinnamon oatmeal to the Montgomery Area Food Bank, which provides meals to people in more than half of Alabama's 67 counties.
We want to congratulate the young people that had in their heart to put these meals together and to send to us. We have a service area of over 300,000 people that are food insecure. And so because of that, we need a lot of help. And we're always pleased. It always blesses us to see when young folks step up and help us to feed the hungry throughout Alabama.
I'm proud and glad that I could be here to be able to do something for somebody like that. I've never been able to do something so directly to our community like this, and it's a very good feeling.
For Simply Southern, I'm Kevin Worthington.
Well, that'll do it for this week's show, but if you have something that you'd like to share on the program or an idea for something that you'd like to hear, well, let us know. Shoot us an email at ffatoday@ffa.org or just give us a call, 855-RR-147. That's 855-7766-147. Until next week, I'm Janet Atkinson with FFA Today on Rural Radio 147, Sirius XM.